Hi, this is Susan Taney and Kathy Poblowski from Lost Dogs of America radio podcast. Our sister sites help reunite thousands of dogs every year with their owners, but there are still hundreds of missing dogs out there. Today, we want to dig a little deeper into why some of these dogs, which end up in shelters, still never make it back home.
Great topic. And I'm sure anybody that's on Facebook, you know, probably is just gets inundated with lost dog posts in their area. And yeah, lots do get back home, but some don't. So I think it's a super good topic. So are you going to start us off with number one?
Yes. Our number one reason is the confusion about stray holding facilities for the area. Now, I can only speak for the area that I'm from, which is Illinois. And I can speak clearly about Cook County and Chicago. In Chicago, we have several stray holding facilities, which also include sometimes vet clinics hold the dogs. We actually have a police district that's a stray holding facility. We have other shelters that are stray holding facility. And it really makes it difficult for a person to find their dog. And even if the person finds the dog in Chicago or Cook County, sometimes they'll take it outside of the area. So because they don't know where to take the dog when they're in the city. So there is a lot of confusion about that. And it makes it very hard for an owner to find their dog. And we do have some counties that have, like for instance, Lake County, which is the northern part of Illinois, the northeastern part of Illinois. In there, they have Zion Animal Control, they have Waukegan Animal Control, they have North Chicago Animal Control, and they also have Lake County Animal Control. And this happens in some of the other counties. So you have to be sure to check every single facility because there is a possibility your dog could be there.
Right. And so you're saying, so I could lose my dog and I could not, I might not even know where my dog's been taken to. My dog could get picked up right away, which, you know, you would normally think that's a good thing. Okay, so great, my dog's going to be at a shelter. But I don't even know where to begin to look for which shelter to look in. And, you know, so therein lies the confusion that, yeah, great, my dog's at a shelter, but how do I know where to begin? And, you know, one of the shelter mantras that we hear over and over again is that you must go every day to look at the shelters. But that becomes, you know, pretty much impossible if your dog is missing for more than a few days, because how can you get the time off work? And how can you, you know, how do you commit that kind of time and gas money and everything to do that when, you know, there could be several places that you have to go to every day. And you have to try to get there in the hours that the shelter is open. It just sometimes becomes impossible.
Exactly.
So I'm going to do number two. Number two is so lack of cross communication and use of a centralized database. So it would sound really nice if when your dog ends up in a shelter, they would let every other shelter know in the area that your dog is there. So you could look in one place and see where your dog was. That wouldn't that be great? But unfortunately, that's not the way it is. We find that there's very little cross-communication between holding facilities, if any at all. And so, again, there's the problem. You're kind of forced to make the rounds possibly every day, and you just can't usually do that. There is a centralized database out there that we use for our listings called Helping Lost Pets, and it's great. Now we've partnered with another large database called Pet FBI, and we share listings, but unfortunately a lot of the shelters do not use that, and we work really hard to try to get them to at least look at it, but you know, it's still been an upward challenge for us.
And our number three reason are photos not posted on the shelter website or Facebook page. And what happens a lot of times in the rural areas, some of these animal control facilities or animal control officers, do not have a shelter website, or they don't even have a Facebook page. So people that live in rural areas, especially like in Southern Illinois and that, it's really hard, you know, to find your dog, because you might have to, you know, go across the county, maybe 30 or 40 miles to look for your dog in that shelter. But if their photos were into a centralized database, or even on their shelter website or Facebook page, it would make it a lot easier for them. And even in Chicago, one of our major shelters that holds lost dogs or found dogs does not post on their Facebook page and or our Helping Lost Pets site. So it, and that really creates issues, because again, we need to have that centralized database, so it makes it easy for all people to look for their lost dogs.
And that is so frustrating. In today's day and age, when it is so easy to snap a photo with a cell phone and put it on Facebook, that there are still places that will not do it. I just am so incredibly frustrated with that, that, you know, how, what a simple way to help a dog get home, and they, and there's still places that refuse to do it.
Well, and especially when I mentioned that the, you know, the counties, you know, the rural counties, that they don't have a website or a Facebook page, they could just easily just download the photo onto Helping Lost Pets. Yeah. And there's their database. Yes. So it's really easy peasy, and there shouldn't be any excuse for not doing it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to let you talk about number four too, Susan, because that's something that I know that is a sore point for you, because you've had some of that problem lately.
Well, what happens is that sometimes people will find the dog in another city, and let's just say Chicago, and they're from McHenry County, or they're from Winnebago County, and they drive that dog all the way to the shelter that they know. And so that adds, you know, another hurdle in for the owner to find their lost dog. And because we don't have cross communication, you know, Winnebago doesn't communicate to Chicago, or if we had that centralized database, at least we could do, you know, there'd be a searchable site. Also, what happens is that Chicago Animal Care and Control actually will send out dogs to medical care, medical foster. And what happens is that the dog is removed from the Pet Harbor site, and it goes into another section. So it's not listed in the lost dog section, but they have another site. So there's another hurdle for an owner of a lost dog to look for their dog. Now, as I understand, I did get an email. They're trying to work with Pet Harbor to make some changes so that doesn't happen, because it's we have, thank God, we have fans who are watching the other sites. You know, we'll, you know, and say, oh, geez, this dog has been transferred to another rescue. And they try to watch it to find out if it gets posted on a Facebook page, on the rescue's Facebook page, saying that they're holding this dog as a medical transfer, you know, a transfer foster. And they also trying to watch our page and the hundreds of other Facebook pages that list lost dogs.
And so that's really frustrating, because people assume that if you have a, you know, a designated stray hold time in your area, that your dog is going to be held for that amount of time in the facility. And then to find out that they were transferred out early, you know, for whatever reason, you know, medical reason or whatever the reason may be, and then you cannot find them in that shelter, very, very frustrating. You know, and then, which goes on to like our number five, which is these short stray holes. And sometimes, you know, they're short already, and then they may be made shorter because the dog is actually transferred out before the official stray hole time is actually up. Then your dog can get adopted out before you even have a chance to figure out where they are. And so, you know, that has kind of become a national issue. problem as we see it, that yes, there's a huge focus on adoptions in America, which is a great thing because it's great for people to adopt and not shop, but you may be adopting somebody else's pet, and there is really no need for that. You know, a lot of these animals already have a home. So we would like to see less focus on, I wouldn't say less focus on adoption, but more focus on, first of all, figuring out if that pet already has a home and before deciding that it needs a new home. Because once a animal is adopted to a new home, it's very, very difficult for the original owner to get the dog back. And, you know, unless they have the money to hire an attorney, is what it usually takes, then it's, you know, it's very difficult, and it often does not happen, and it often creates great heartache and stress. So some stray holds in this country are very, very short to begin with, and some are shortened, because like you said, Susan, the dog was transferred out, so it really never did do its stray hold in the facility. Okay, number six. Tackle number six.
Well, we, you know, I think we also need to discuss with the short stray holds that I know that when City of Chicago decreased the stray hold to 3 days, we had wanted to have some kind of waiver put into place for a family to claim a dog after the dog had been adopted or transferred. And we simply wanted to have that because it still is a mess. And, you know, until we can get this completely straightened out, I think there needs to be some backup plans on how do we, you know, work with people that, you know, we've had people that come back from vacation. And this has happened several times where whoever was taking care of the pet doesn't want to let them know that their dog is missing because they don't want to disrupt their vacation. So what happens is that dog ends up at the shelter. No one is claiming the dog. So they think the dog is now, quote, abandoned or nobody wants it. While in turn, that family was not even notified that their dog was missing. So
Exactly.
and there should be some kind of waivers or whatever.
Yep, exactly. And that is, you know, can you just imagine that heartbreak? And people don't understand this system. I mean, we understand it because we do it every day. We know that the stray holds are really short, but the average person does not know that, right? And
Exactly.
so they think they're doing the right thing. They're not alarming the family that's on vacation, and then it just turns out to be a horrible mess. So, yeah, that's really sad.
Now, the sixth one is high reclaim fees. And as some people who are fans of Lost Dogs Illinois, if a dog is listed on our page and it is claimed, it is reclaimed at a facility, and if the fees are extremely high, we will help pay the fees. Now, we have paid up to $600 on a reclaim fee. And, you know, that's really hard for someone just to cough up $600. And sometimes these were fees that were even negotiated. I mean, we've had people say that they had to pay $2,000 to $3,000 to get their animal out of the shelter and that. And, thankfully, Chicago Animal Control has reduced their reclaims fees to a flat $65. But yet, if your dog is taken to Animal Welfare League, which is also can hold Chicago dogs, their reclaim fees are completely different and they're more expensive. So fingers crossed that your dogs go to CACC, not Animal Welfare League.
And like it or not, there are many, many Americans who love their pets dearly, live paycheck to paycheck. You know, that's the reality. And, you know, most shelters, the reclaim fees go up daily. There's a daily fee. So if you don't get paid until Friday and your dog, is brought in on a Monday, and then now you've got all those extra days of fees, sometimes it just becomes too much, and people just have to leave their dog at the shelter because they can't afford to reclaim it. It becomes the choice of, do I get my prescription medicine, or do I reclaim my dog, or do I get my groceries and pay my rent, or do I get my dog? And
Or,
unfortunately, sometimes the dog is not the that doesn't get the priority.
and sometimes the dog does get the priority, but then someone's becomes behind in their electric bill, or they become behind on their rent, and that, I mean, that is really unfair. That
I
is.
think the idea behind these really high reclaim fees at one point was that, well, if they were punitive, people wouldn't lose their dogs to begin with. But punitive fines do not work. And especially when you're talking about a living, breathing animal that really just wants to go home, it does not make any sense to take up space in that shelter to, cost the taxpayer money. To hold dogs that really have a home that they can go home to. So on that note, I'll do number seven, which is again another barrier to getting a lost dog home is a lack of accessible hours. So if somebody is working, a job where they're not able to visit the shelter during the regular business hours of the shelter. First of all, they probably can't come in and check to see if their dog is actually there. And or they may not be able to, once if they do know that their dog is there, they may not be able to come and reclaim them during those hours. So they may be forced to wait until another day to come reclaim them. And then again, it just starts to snowball. Then the price goes up and they may not be able to get there. But I really would like people to think about if you have a long lost missing dog, and you have been told that you need to check the shelter daily in person, what that does, how that becomes logistically and financially impossible after a few days. So now you have dogs maybe missing weeks or months, and you're still expecting owners to come in daily or every couple of days to check the shelter. And there's just so many barriers to that happening. And one of them is those accessible hours, or not putting the photos on Facebook, or a website so that they can actually see them without coming in.
Exactly. And then, we are a melting pot in the United States, and we have language and cultural barriers. And we find that ourselves when we are trying to work with people who do not speak English. And this also happens in the shelters. And it also happens on websites. I mean, the websites, webs, excuse me, websites must all be multi-language too, so that they can understand what is going on in that. And I don't have any, do you have anything else to add on that?
Well, and I also like there's also people that have a fear of they consider a shelter a sort of a government agency, and they have a fear of going to a government agency for whatever reason. Maybe somebody in the family doesn't not you know doesn't have proper documentation, so they have a fear of going in where they could be possibly exposing themselves to some sort of immigration problems or something, and really it's got nothing to do with how much they love their dogs and want their dogs home. So let's try to cut down on some of those cultural barriers that exist.
Well, and some people just don't want to go to the shelter
Yes,
because it's
absolutely.
depressing. It's depressing
Absolutely. Yep.
to many of them.
I have heard that many times from people that they just can't they want to go look for their dog, but it's just the grief is enormous, and to walk through is just very, very hard on them.
Well, and especially if you're going to a large metro. I mean, that's overwhelming. Very, very overwhelming. And I do know that CACC has a Kia, oh, I can't even say it. Sorry about that. But they have, a screen that you can go up and you can scroll through. But it still isn't the same as seeing a dog in person, But, I just think it's really hard for a lot of people.
So again, barriers. There are, definitely physical barriers, age, and so, and mental health disabilities that have barriers. Can cause problems with communication or transportation. I had one lady one time, elderly lady wanting to find her dog, and was told she had to come to the shelter every day, and she didn't. She no longer drove, so she was going to have to take a taxi every day. And I guess that kind of goes into number 10. So why don't you just go ahead? These sorts of things all sort of run together.
Exactly. And the lack of transportation, cell phone, or internet service, we are marker chip hunters, which they're an amazing group. They run into these issues all the time. And we've had several people who said they wanted to reclaim their dogs, but because you can't take a dog on a bus, and there's very few taxis and Ubers that allow you to transport the dog. And especially if you have to go to a shelter, you can't sit there and pay and have a taxi cab and an Uber sit there for 2 to 3 hours while you're waiting to claim your dog. Cell phone, there's a lot of times that people get different cell phone numbers, or they don't even have an internet service. It's amazing how many people that will have someone message us that says, well, my neighbor lost their dog, but they don't have an internet service. How can we post their dog? Well, if they don't have an internet service, they don't know where, they're, how can they find out where their, where the stray holding facility is? And there is a lot of lack of transportation. I mean, even, people are in, are walkers or wheelchairs, but they're also great pet owners. So how are they supposed to get, get their found, get their lost dog back home?
Absolutely has no bearing on how much they love their pet, but unfortunately, as soon as somebody isn't right there ready to reclaim their pet right away, it's very easy for a stray holding facility to proclaim that the owner wasn't looking for their pet, right? And then,
Exactly.
and gives them that the excuse to adopt it out or put it down because, oh, nobody was looking for it, but not really thinking how many hurdles there actually are for people.
Well, and I think I was at a meeting recently with a shelter, and I thought it was kind of interesting that the comment was, oh, I would just drop everything to go and get my dog. And I sat there and thought, you work in a shelter. Everybody would understand that. But you might be in a manufacturing, you might be a nurse, not everybody has the same ability to just drop everything and go to a shelter to pick up their dog. I mean, I think people have to realize that you just cannot judge people on this stuff.
And or you may have an employer that doesn't understand, that doesn't, like pets or whatever, and so just absolutely is not going to be compassionate enough to let you take the time to go. And again, this may not be a one-time thing. This may be something, if you've been told you have to come to the shelter every day to look, you may be, making this request all the time. You may lose your job over it. And that's a reality of, it's something that needs to keep the, we need people to understand that these are barriers for people.
Right.
So number 11 is our last one, so kind of our bonus one. So when one of the things that can help dogs get back home is if they're wearing visible identification or have a microchip. But we do see a lot of problems with that as well. A lot of times collars come off. A lot of times owners do not like to leave collars on their dogs for safety reasons. I leave collars on my dogs all the time, but I understand that some people do not feel that it's safe to leave a collar on the dog, especially if they play rough with another pet in the household, or there's something, that they feel they might get hooked on or whatever. And so there are a lot of people that don't, maybe only put a collar on their dog when they take it out on a leash. And of course, we're big proponents of microchips, but those microchips absolutely need to be registered at the time of implant. And I don't know about what you feel, Susan, but I really feel it's the responsibility of the implanting agency to register the microchip. And
Exactly.
don't, yeah. And, you know, the person has, you know, paid for the microchip or come to the facility to get a microchip, they do not understand the ins and outs of registering the microchip. The implanting facility does, and they really need to do it, you know. And then, of course, microchips are not foolproof as well. They're wonderful, but they are sometimes they're not scanned. You know, there's lots of dogs out there that end up at a place where the microchip was never found, you know, and they
Yep.
did have a microchip, or it was missed because they were scanned incorrectly, or it had, you know, moved way down in the dog's leg. Or we have animal control facilities in Wisconsin still that do not even have microchip scanners, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
So, lots and lots of hurdles still for us to overcome. That's why we do what we do.
And as one organization said to us, we are in our infant stage with this whole idea of lost dogs, getting them home, and not all stray dogs are homeless. And I think that just
Absolutely.
has to be, you know, people have to realize that.
Right. When you think that the estimate is that 40 to 60% of pets in shelters are actually lost pets that, you know, need to make it home somehow, that is just staggering to me to think that if we could, if, you know, even if you don't get that full 40 to 60% back home, even if you only get half of those back home, what a difference it could make in our shelter populations, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think we're done for this episode, unless you have anything else you want
No, I don't.
to add. Okay, so let's wrap it up. This is Kathy Poblofsky reminding you to never give up. Lost dogs have been recovered weeks, months, and even years after they went missing.
This is Susan Taney reminding you that not all stray dogs are homeless. Remember to always assume that a dog you find has an owner somewhere looking for them. We hope the tips we provide you will help you find your missing dog. You can visit our Facebook page, Lost Dogs of America, or our website, lostdogsofamerica.org, for more tips to help you find your missing dog.
Thanks for listening.